You're listening to Pod 4 Ham, a podcast that's all about the musical Hamilton, taking it one track at a time. Every episode features different groups of interesting people talking about a single track from the original Broadway cast recording of Hamilton. Visit us online at pod4ham, that's the numeral 4, .com. Follow us on Twitter at pod4ham, or you can visit The Incomparable at theincomparable.com.
I may not live to see our glory.
I may not live to see our glory.
But I've seen wonders great and small.
I've seen wonders great and small.
Cause if the tomcat can get married,
if Alexander can get married,
there's hope for our ass after all.
Welcome back. This is Pod for Ham, where we talk about the musical Hamilton, one track at a time. Today, we're talking about the reprise of The Story of Tonight, in which Alex's buddies sit around and drink. I'm Monty Ashley.
I'm Lex Friedman.
I'm Elsa S. Henry.
I'm Eddie Notko.
So, guys, a reprise. They're just doing the same song again. Is that cheating or what?
I guess they ran out of ideas.
Well, I think it's like Little League Baseball, where they have to figure out that every player has to get enough time off the bench and on the field, and they add it up, and someone's mom complained that, my son doesn't have a solo. It's all the way to the, in the middle of the season. He doesn't have a solo yet, so okay, fine. We'll give him some, we'll do a reprise of this other song that we decided to give more lines to other people with, and we'll make sure everyone gets the same number of lines in the song.
This song has my two favorite non-musical moments on the cast album, which are... First, when Burr says the woman he loves is married to a British officer.
Oh, shit.
Hamilton does that really just, oh, shit. Like, oh, whoa, man, that's serious, man. But also a little bit before that, when Hamilton tells his buddies to shove off so he can talk to Burr, there is a great, I'm not sure who says it, going, what? Somebody is just... shocked and outraged by that, and I love that.
I will say, on the soundtrack for this song, I really enjoy how hardcore Lafayette's accent gets. It's to me, it is the Frenchest that he, or maybe Frenchest isn't the best word, but it is the faux Frenchest he sounds.
It skids into Clouseau territory here.
yes, sure. Clouseau, I always think just pure cartoon. Like, it sounds like almost Pepe Le Pew-esque in this song, and not in a bad way. It doesn't take me out of it.
I feel like that Clouseau falls into the cartoon character.
That's fair.
It's actually funny. This is my least favorite track in the whole show. Uh-oh.
Take it down. What do you got?
Tear it apart.
Tear this track apart.
I feel like there's so much good stuff in this show that doesn't denigrate women. And then we get to this track that basically indulges in all of the weird bro-y ideas about marriage, that it feels kind of off after seeing Eliza being so awesome. And, you know, just the women in the show not having those interactions with men. So it just feels very weird to me.
I can see that, sure.
Even to a degree where it doesn't feel, and I don't know, but like historically accurate?
I mean, those feelings about marriage weren't really instilled in our society at that point. Marriage was a business contract. Marriage was... also just functionally necessary in many ways to keep a home running, especially during wartime when women were the ones staying at home to take care of the farms and manage the land when men were away fighting.
It's satisfied. It has to end. It really just ends on, I have not seen the show, but it seems like one of those songs that ends with just, we got to put everything to a stop because people are just applauding too loud for this incredible performance. And then the next one you have is Wait For It after this. Sometimes I wonder if someone who's putting together this show thinks we have to put in a breather between two really big, powerful performances, both as a sorbet, so that whoever gets the next really powerful song won't be immediately following the previous really powerful song. And basically each of those performers gets a different sort of moment. And also each of those moments in the story gets to land a little bit better. Because this is the story tonight, the reprise, is a nice little fluffy little marshmallow. All you really get is we need to have Burr and Hamilton rubbing against each other a little bit just to indicate that these people have fundamentally he's a metric wrench and Hamilton is an English wrench. They are not going to be able to work together in the same place in the same way. But it really just seems like it needs to, it's there to put air between two really big, powerful songs to me.
That certainly makes sense from a script writing perspective.
So you're saying it's filler then?
Not filler, but just like you, I'm thinking again of reading about, how Sondheim was putting together things like Gypsy, and that knowing that at the end of Rose's turn, there's just not only can you not control what the audience is going to do after this immense show-stopping Tony-winning performance that's going to happen during the song, but also you kind of have to give the performer his or her due. You can't just simply have someone rush in as soon as she finishes her last note. There's a cannon fire off the side of the street, and then people rush in. Oh my God! It's war! War has been declared. You have to have a moment in which this person can really accept the applause of the audience, because this is something that they've been working on for the past 6 to 8 months. And so it just makes me think of part of it is not just being filler, but making sure you pace things out. And also, you kind of have to have an emotional, there's like sort of an emotional bank account that you can't overdraw upon among the audience, where you can't affect them to be, you have to give them a breather between two edge of your seat sort of character moments. And it's not so much filler so much as here's a good time for us to have fun, for us to relax, to get the audience to sort of let down their guard again and think, hey, we're just watching a funny little musical in which people rap about history.
It feels to me like a song in Les Mis.
Yes.
It feels a lot like Empty Chairs at Empty Tables, except that none of these guys are dead yet. Like, it ends with both Burr and Hamilton saying, I'll see you on the other side of the war. And because I've seen and listened to Les Mis so much, I feel like that's setting up a later song where Hamilton says, "Ah, oh, Philip, I miss you, Philip."
Mm.
And that doesn't actually happen because we rush forward between acts to get into the later part of Hamilton's life.
Can we also take a moment to point out that one of the greatest, I think one of the things that must have been a great attraction to the lyricist was the fact that Aaron Burr is one of the lead characters, and his last name is just one syllable that's super easy to rhyme. And here's another one. Aaron Burr, sir. Didn't think you'd make it, to be sure. Burr.
Yep. Spit a verse, Burr. That one nearly works. Write it down.
Yeah.
And of course, because that rhyme doesn't quite work, it's paired with you are the worst, Burr. Which does rhyme with spit a verse, Burr, not so much with the other ones.
The lineup of you're very kind, but I'm afraid it's unlawful, sir. She's married to a British officer. There's a breakup in between, sure. But they come right off of one another, so it lines up.
Yeah. He's a great, he must be really good at crossword puzzles. The way that he is throughout this entire show, it's just brilliant.
I appreciate how the reprise really, in some ways, acts not just as a redo of the first round of the song, but a parody of itself in many ways, where they're using the same lyrics but tweaking things to Elsa's point in ways that aren't super feminist or forward thinking. But the versions of the lyrics that they're doing here are pretty funny. You know, taking their previous toasts to freedom for the country and saying that now he's losing his freedom and independence as a nearly married man. But I find it's very cleverly done. Like Elsa, I don't actually love this song. Because I think like we're all kind of suggesting it doesn't really feel like it's propelling us forward very much. I understand why it's there. I get the purpose it's serving, but I don't know. But I appreciate what's happening in the song in terms of how it references and plays with the first story of tonight.
Yeah. I like this. I do like this song largely because it's cheerful and doesn't last too long. Like we've just established like the melody already. Yeah. We've established the melody. So they can have some fun going, I may not live to see our glory, and actually sound drunk.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do get to play drunk pretty well.
People don't always sound like they're enjoying themselves in this musical, so I like the brief moments where they are.
It's a little barbershop quartet-y, isn't it? Sweet Adeline, sweet Adeline, my Adeline, my Adeline.
That's the whole song.
I'm sorry, you guys didn't chime in. I intentionally did the high parts. You could go in for those. Okay, I didn't clear it with you guys before, and I had no right to take control of the.
We didn't rehearse. That's the problem.
This is not the Sweet Adeline podcast.
Dibs.
We didn't have rehearsal.
I have already run out of things to say about this fairly inconsequential song. Take that, burnt.
I got to be the feminist historian for 30 seconds, so, you know, I'm pretty done.
I got to sing twice.
I love the show, but when it comes to this song, I'll never be, you know, satisfied.
Well, this has been Pod for Ham. Join us next week when somebody else, or possibly some of us, there's no way of knowing, will talk about Wait for It. And I suspect they will have more to say.
That's again, Alexander. Smile more. I'll see you on the other side of the war.
I will never understand you. If you love this woman, go get her. What are you waiting for?
I'll see you on the other side of the war.
I'll see you on the other side of the war.
You'll just have to wait for it.
Oh, yeah, that would have been a good angle to go with. I'm kicking myself now.